Aloha, everybody, and welcome to another edition of On the Money with a Certified Financial Group right here on News 96.5 WDBO. We are here with the Oracle of Orlando, Joe Burt, alongside Chris Toadvine, Certified Financial Planner Professionals at the Certified Financial Group. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, Kyle.
How are you guys today?
We're doing great.
Well.
How are you?
Doing well.
Oh, not too bad. Hanging
you
over
sound
here.
All full of life this morning, man.
Well, yeah, you know, right. I had my coffee a little earlier, about 20 minutes earlier today.
Ah, and, there you go.
Yes, exactly.
Kick in.
There you go.
And I slept well last night.
I did too.
Yeah,
I did too. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, I exercised yesterday. Sometimes that helps.
It doesn't help me, but yeah, last night was a good night too. All right, so we're all ready to go this morning.
So
here we are.
I mean, we're gonna get extra good today with the you know, the information we're about to dole out here on the radio. That's what I hear. Everybody's up and ready to go. But Joe, what kind of information are we gonna talk about today here on the radio?
Well, Chris Toadvine and I are here broadcasting live from our conference room up here in Altamont Springs this morning, socially distancing, but we're here to answer your questions, things that might be on your mind regarding your personal finances. As I say, we go through life trying some of this, trying some of that, wake up at 55 years old and find out what we have is a collection of financial accidents. And the reason being is because they don't teach us this stuff in school. So here we are. This is what Chris and I and 10 other certified financial planners do day in and day out at Certified Financial Group. We work with our clients as fiduciaries doing financial planning and investment management for a fee. But on Saturday morning, we are here absolutely free. So if you have any questions regarding your personal finances, questions revolving around long-term care, life insurance, reverse mortgages, stocks, bonds, real estate, mutual funds, 401ks, IRAs, all that and more, we are here to take your calls. And the good news for you is that the lines are absolutely wide open. So if you have any questions regarding any of those topics, you can call us. And in addition to that, Rodney Ownby is in our offices this morning taking calls as well. And if you have a detailed question, something a little bit more elaborate that you want to get into some more detailed private conversation, you can reach him at 407-869-9800, 407-869-9800, or 1-800-EXECUTE. Rodney, in addition to being a certified financial planner, is also a CPA, and so he'd be glad to take your calls as well. So we look forward to getting your calls here on the show live, but you can also reach Rodney Ownby in our offices.
Yeah, the number to dial us up, of course, 844-220-0965. That's 844-220-0965. Text machine up and running as well at 21232. That is 21232. Each dash to keep it about 160 characters because that's all we can see on the screen. We don't get anything get cut off and have a message missed or something like that and give you the wrong information. So if you find yourself writing a short novel, that's what the phone lines are for, 844-220-0965. If you are home and feel so compelled to watch us on the television or your phone or your mobile device or your laptop or whatever whatever device you have that has a screen, go to facebook.com/onthemoneyfl. And or if you go to Facebook, go to the homepage, On the Money Podcast in the search bar. Pull up that page and you'll be able to watch us this morning and leave a comment on a question and we'll be able to see that and ask that to the Certified Financial Group as well. Topic of the day today here on May 30th, 2020, in search of the Holy Grail, investing for income. Chris Toadvine.
There we go, Kyle, in search of the Holy Grail. Joe and Kyle, good morning. And so I wanted to share with our listeners something that came up last week with a client of mine whose father had some investments that they were placed in. And this client asked me if I would take a look at his investment statements because she noticed that they didn't hold up so well through the downturn here in February and March. And the statements she provided me were as of April 30th. So I had good, fresh information to take a look at. What I noticed was that something I think a lot of investors perceive that if they're getting a higher than normal rate of income, that they can live on the income, right?
Right.
And it's almost unspoken that the principal will stay intact.
Right.
They can live on that income, right, and then they have the principal there. The goose just keeps laying the golden eggs.
They found the Holy Grail.
They found the Holy Grail for them. And so, you know, here's the first takeaway, I think, Joe. If Treasury notes, say one-year notes are paying 0.15% or something, and a 10-year Treasury is paying, you know, 0.75%, and someone offers you an investment paying 5, 6, 7%, that should be a red flag.
Of course.
You want to understand what's under the hood there.
But right? You want to believe it's true.
You want to believe it's true, and a lot of times it is true, but at what price? And I think that's the idea. So I looked at the statements, and this gentleman, just to set it up a little bit, he was in his 80s, he was retired, probably looking for income. I never talked to him about it. All three investments were income-oriented, right? The first was a mutual fund. So these types of investments come in all shapes and sizes, different types of packaging, right? The first was a mutual fund, a focused dividend strategy fund, and he bought it, or it was sold to him, let's say, in May of 2018. So had it just a couple years. Over that time frame, he lost 25%. So I said, well, is that good, bad, or indifferent? How would we know? The market was pretty tumultuous here of late.
Right.
So I compared that to the S&P 500 over the same time frame, and it was up 7%.
The S&P was up, and his investment was down 25%.
That's correct. And assuming that someone who's in their 80s wouldn't have 100% in the S&P, I looked at, how did bonds do? Bonds were up 11. So I said, what if he had 50% stock and 50% bonds? How would he have done compared to how he actually did? He would earn about 4.5%, and he was down 25.
Ooh.
That's a 30% difference.
Big swing.
That's a big swing. So that was just one of the investments. That was one of the better ones.
tell us more.
Inquiring minds want to know, right?
Right.
So the other was what's known as an alternative investment.
Oh.
So a lot of times these are positioned as being unique and kind of undiscovered by many, and there's some panache value there. And so the idea was to generate current income to a lesser extent, long-term capital appreciation. Well, that he purchased in 2014. So plenty of time to have decent returns
over the
last 6 years.
Right.
That one was down 28%.
Ooh.
Whereas a blended 50-50 stock and bond portfolio, I estimated about 12% positive. So, Joe, the difference between down 28 and up 12
40.
Is 40%.
Wow.
That's a big price to
big
pay.
Price.
And the last was a unit investment trust. So that's just a different, kind of like a mutual fund, but typically the investments are bought and held for a period of time, and then it's disbanded,
right?
Bought that one in August of 2018. It was down 38%, whereas a blended portfolio would have been up around 6. So you can do the math. That's about a 43% difference. So on average, he lost about 30% while the markets were up. Even with some volatility, the markets were up. And so I think that the takeaway here, again, is understand what you're buying and know that following the principles. A couple weeks ago, we talked about evidence-based practices, about doing things that have shown themselves to work consistently over time. And when we look at investments like this that are offering, at least not promising, but offering a well above average rate of return, it comes with some risk.
Right.
And it's important for investors to understand that they are taking on additional risk when they buy investments that pay that rate of income.
Right. There's no such thing as a free lunch, as we say. And when people are looking for purely income, as you and I know, we look at total return.
That's right.
It just don't look at purely, because that's the old school. That was the old way of buying investments. You bought a stock or a mutual fund or a bond purely for the income. But really, when you build a diversified portfolio, which you should have in most cases, of stocks for stock or stock mutual funds for growth and fixed income or bonds to protect you on the downside, you want to look at the total return of the portfolio, not just what the income is, because the income really can and should come from the total return.
Well, that's exactly right, Joe, total return. And so I think that one of the big takeaways, I would bet that these investments perform decently for a period of time.
Mm-hmm.
But then with this COVID-19 crisis, I only saw the statement as of April 30th. So I don't
know. April 30th was after we had the good recovery.
After we had the rebound.
April was a great month. I hate to see what it looked like in March.
Well, exactly. And so, again, I think one of the takeaways is that to understand when you're being offered a rate of return or income that is so far above market rates, if you can get 1% on a CD and someone offers you an investment again at 5, 6, or 7, it doesn't mean it's wrong. It just means you need to understand what you're investing in.
What you're giving up to get. What you're giving up to get.
That's right.
There's always a trade-off, and that's unfortunately it happens a lot in our business. That it's you sell the sizzle, but you really don't understand what the steak is.
And there may not be any steak there.
There may not be any steak when it's all over.
That's right. And so I think that also another takeaway would be that diversified portfolios work.
Always
and,
do.
And by definition, being broadly diversified gives you exposure to things that perform differently in any given market condition.
That's right.
And not everything performs the same at any one point in time, but that's what you want.
And the key to remember in a diversified portfolio is you always have losers. You will always have something that underperforms.
Yes.
And that's the key for diversification. But if you have quality with diversification, in the long run, you'll be fine. Because if everything is doing great at the same time, you know what happens.
Yeah, when things go south,
everything goes south. That's correct.
Time.
So yes. Diversification with quality in the long run is key. I see we have a call there, Mr. Kyle.
Yeah, if you want to dial up behind Harry and Longwood, it's 844-220-0965. That's 844-220-0965. Let's go out to Longwood, talk to Harry this morning. Harry, good morning.
Good morning, Harry.
Hi, Harry.
Thanks for the call. What's up?
Doing?
Well, now you got me thinking about a different question, but I've two hopefully quick questions.
So, sure.
Well, you had mentioned one time about the best way to invest in your IRA versus just your normal investments. And you said something about the stocks being in one, something to do with taxes, and later on, is there certain things like that that are better to invest in than not?
Well, if you're looking at taxable versus non-taxable accounts, like an IRA, which is non-taxable, and your regular brokerage account, which is taxable, you want to put the things that generate income, taxable income, in the taxable account. I'm sorry, in the non-taxable account.
Tax-deferred account.
And the things that generate long-term capital gains or for growth, those would be in your taxable account. That makes sense, Harry? So the things that generate a lot of income, dividends, interest, you want to put those in your tax-deferred, non-taxable account. And the things that generally don't provide that much income, you want to put in your taxable account. Make sense?
Is that what you're asking?
Yeah. I wish I'd known that about 25 years ago, but that's good.
Well, it's never too late to reposition your portfolio. You know, we'd be glad to offer you a second opinion and give you some ideas. So,
Go
ahead.
Well,
you had another question.
My original question was, I heard the other day about different ways to convert your IRA into like Roths and things like that. What's the best way? I'm 67 going on 68. My income is going down significantly in the next couple of years. And what's the best way to get money out of my IRA? And are there three big ways to do it, three best ways to do it, or how does that work?
Well, Harry, I'm not sure. There are probably lots of ways to do it. So if I'm understanding you correctly, and help me, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, but what I think you're asking is what is the best way to draw income from your portfolio now that you're retiring, I guess, or retired. Is that correct?
No, actually, let me back up. That might be part of it, but not much. The main thing is I don't want to be taxed with all these taxes that are going to have to pay these trillions of dollars down the road that we've been doing, our government's been doing. Taxes are going to have to go up, I assume. So I don't want to be taxed in my IRA significantly if I can move that money out and pay taxes in my lower earning years right now.
Yeah, so that's you make a great point, Harry, and I think this is a question that that Joe and I and the other planners here in the office are receiving more frequently now as a result of a number of things. First of all was the Secure Act, which passed in late December, which did away with what was known as the stretch IRA, where if I were to inherit an IRA, I could take distributions over my lifetime to minimize the tax effect. And, of course, you can always take it all out right away if you want, but you didn't have to. You were given that option. Well, that was eliminated, and now any beneficiary has 10 years. So that was sort of a nod in favor of considering Roth IRA conversions. Then, you know, now, of course, we're at historically low tax rates, and we're running massive deficits. And so I think that a lot of folks are wisely looking to the future and saying, hey, tax rates are probably going to be higher down the road because sooner or later we're going to have to pay the piper. We're going to have to start paying back all this money that we've borrowed. And so when you put those two together, one has more of an estate planning implication. The other is more just how do I minimize my own tax bill, which I think is what you're getting at. And the idea is if you're in a lower bracket now, and I really like to see people in the lowest couple of tax brackets, say 10% or 12%, but it depends on your situation. if you are in the 22 or 24% bracket and you know that you're going to be there forever because of your income and the asset base that you have, then you would want to consider it there. But the idea, Harry, is to look at how much income do you have? Are you married?
Yeah, I'm married. I'll probably be in the 12% at this point coming up.
Okay, so 12%. So here's the thought process. If I can pay tax at 12% now, and I think taxes are going to go up, whereas, you know, or down the road, I might have to pay at 15% or 20% or more because of the deficits, like you pointed out, hey, I'd rather pay the 12% now, and then all the growth that happens in the Roth is tax-free. And so what you do practically, and this is what we do for our clients, Harry, is we figure out, okay, how much income do you have? Because if you're married, you can stay in the 12% bracket having up to about $80,000 in taxable income. So that's after your standard deduction. So for a couple, you add, you know, $24,000 to that. So you can have, let's say, $104,000 or so of total income and still be in that 12% tax bracket. And so if you and your wife had, you know, we'll just make up $75,000 of total income, well, in our example here, you could convert $25,000 to $30,000 and you would pay tax at the 12% rate and convert that amount into your Roth IRA. And then you would look at probably doing that every year, you know, to kind of fill up that 12% bucket, so to speak, because our current tax rates, Joe, they sunset in what, about 6 years?
Yep.
So that's the thought process, Harry.
How much did you say I could put in from my
Harry,
IRA?
Harry, hang on. I know we're coming up against a break, and I want you to stick around because there's more to this question than we've been able to get. Am I right, Kyle? We're up against a break. I'm looking at the clock here.
We are, yep. Harry, hang on the line here real quick, and we'll put you on hold. Give us 1 second, as we have to get the three big things you need to know. But if you want to get behind Harry, it's 844-220-0965. That's 844-220-0965. We are planning tomorrow.
Today,
the Certified Financial Group, right here on News 96.5 WDBO. Welcome back. This is On the Money with the Certified Financial Group, right here on News 96.5 WDBO. We are here with Joe Burt and Chris Toadvine, Certified Financial Planner Professionals at the Certified Financial Group. And again, we're taking your phone calls at 844-220-0965. Before we get to the latest news, weather, and traffic, which is coming up in about 2.5 minutes, let's get back to Harry in Longwood. Harry, Joe, go ahead with the conversation there.
Sure. Well, Harry had a question regarding doing a Roth conversion. What's the best time to do it? Harry is fearful in years to come because of all the stimulus that's been pumped into the economy that we're going to be looking at higher taxes down the road. So what's the best time to do? And we're talking about the tax brackets and what that the impact would be in the various tax brackets. So, Harry, you still there?
I am still here.
All right. So where do we leave off, Chris?
Well, Harry, I think you were asking a question. We had to take a break. Given what we've shared with you, what questions do you have?
Well, I think my son-in-law is a CPA, too, and I think he told me that you could put you just put in the amount of money that keeps you in the 12% tax bracket or the lower tax bracket, like you said, with all the whatever I can deduct, et cetera. So,
yep.
So I didn't know if that was the only way to do stuff, you know, is to convert it to Roth. Is that the only thing you can do? I mean, is there any difference between that and just cashing it out?
Well, Harry, real quick, I think that's a great question. And in other words, why would you want to be in a Roth as opposed to just cashing it out and taking it and investing? And the reason is simple. With a Roth, when you invest it and you pull it out, under current tax law, you don't pay any income tax on the growth. So if you invest $10,000, it grows to $100,000, you don't pay any tax on that. If you just pull it out of your IRA and take it and stick it in Harry's investment account, a normal taxable investment account, you invest that same $10,000, it grows to $100,000, you have a $90,000 capital gain that you would have to pay tax on. And that would be at capital gains tax rates, which are lower than ordinary income rates. But, Harry, it's better to have it in a Roth because there is no income taxation on the growth.
But Harry, the key to making the Roth work for you is that when you make that conversion, if you take $50,000 out of your traditional, you need to put in $50,000 in the Roth, not $50,000 after taxes, because you're taking a haircut right off the top and you're starting from a negative. So unless you can afford to pay the taxes from other money, you generally don't want to do a conversion unless you can make that full deposit into the Roth account.
Good point, Joe.
So those are things to look at. It's what we do day in and day out as certified financial planners. We work with our clients. We do financial projections, tax projections. In fact, I've had several conversations in the last year with clients, and when we look at their cash flow year by year, what the cash they're going to need, what they need, where they need to withdraw it from, what their tax bracket will be, and we have appointments set up for the future to make those Roth conversions when their tax brackets drop into 12% or lower. And so it's really the key is working with a certified financial planner, which is Chris and I and the 10 of the CFPs do day in and day out here in Altamont Springs, and we'd be glad to work with you. Our website is financialgroup.com. That's financialgroup.com.
We have been planning tomorrow.
Today.
We'll do it after the latest news, weather, and traffic on WDBO. Welcome back. This is On the Money with a certified financial group right here on News 96.5 WDBO. It's all a part of our Ask the Experts weekend. We are here with Joe Burt and Chris Todvine, certified financial planner professionals at the Certified Financial Group. Taking your phone calls at 844-220-0965. As we continue our social distancing, I believe we are back here in the WDBO studios. They are over at 1111 Douglas Avenue, and I believe they are all not only there on the radio today, they're also there taking your phone calls as well. We'll get that number in just a minute, but if you want to dial into the radio show today, it's 844-220-0965, 844-220-0965. Text machine is up and running as well at 21232. And Joe, if they just have to be compelled to drive around and drop by and see the offices of the Certified Financial Group, how would they do that?
Very simple. We are up here in Altamont Springs, just off of I-4, just south of 434 on Douglas Avenue, right behind the Sun Trust Building. And we've been in this spot here for 16, going on 17 years. We've been in Central Florida now for 40 years. And we're going through a big remodeling, renovation, expansion project going on right now. It's been going on for over a year. But I do see some light at the end of the tunnel, and we'll be glad. We're going to have an open house. I can't tell you when that's going to happen. We'll be having that. But anyway, you want more information about what we do as certified financial planners, Chris and I and 10 other certified financial planner professionals here in Altamont Springs do financial planning and investment management for our clients for a fee. We work with our clients as fiduciaries. This is the only financial call-in show that's hosted exclusively by certified financial planners. And that's what we, in fact, when you come to our office, you're going to be guaranteed to work with a certified financial planner. If you go on our website, look at our credentials, you can all see that we've had years and years of experience working with our clients through good times and bad and giving them guidance as to what they need to do now so they don't look back 5 or 10 years from now and say, gee, I wish I would have known, or gee, I'm sorry I did that. And our job is to patch you up, get you on your way, and show you what you need to do and be okay in retirement. So that's what we do. And we are here, and the lines are wide open, so if you want to give us a call. And by the way, Rodney Owenby, certified financial planner and CPA, is also in our office right now taking calls off the air. So if you want a more detailed question, or if you have a more detailed question, or just want to have a private conversation, you can call Rodney Owenby at 407-869-9800 or 1-800-EXECUTIVES. If you're executing a legal document, he'd be glad to chat with you as well.
I tell you what, I was going to say, I promised that there was somebody in the office, and you got to it. I was really worried that you were going to leave me hanging.
Oh, there we go. There we go. No.
But yes, we are on the radio here today, as we've been every Saturday morning for the past 30 years here on WDBO. The number to dial us up is 844-220-0965. That is 844-220-0965. Text is 21232. That is 21232. We got a text here, gentlemen. With the $1 trillion debt still climbing, if we get a new president or not, what do you see happening for the debt besides higher taxes?
What's your crystal ball tell you, Chris?
Well, let me shake up my crystal ball here and see what it says. Now, look, I think that it is, I can't imagine taxes wouldn't go up. I mean, at the end of the day, taxes fund the government. And so if the government has debts to pay, they have to raise taxes in order to fund the debts. And so we spend on lots of other things, and I am not a fan of going into debt on any level, but I think that these are the times when, fortunately, our government has a printing press. And so hopefully that's going to keep us from going much deeper into a downturn than we otherwise would have. But I do think, particularly if we get a new president, I think that we would see those taxes go up sooner rather than later.
I hope you're wrong. I'm a supply sire. I'm from the Art Laffer School of Economics, and I believe that you know, if you tax something, you're going to get less of it. And I just believe that if you continue to raise taxes, you create some distance. Of course, this all depends on where those taxes are meant to land. You know, that's the other thing too.
Well, Joe, I hope I'm wrong too. Okay. I answered the question. What do you think?
I understand.
Is happen,
I understand.
Not
I
what
understand.
Do you want to happen?
Not what you hope to happen. Right?
And I think we have another issue that's not being talked about a whole lot, and that is Social Security.
Yes.
And
that's the critical one.
Yes, yeah. It is.
And that can be fixed without too much trouble.
It can be fixed pretty easily.
Yes.
I think a 1 or 2% tax increase on the employee and the employer would shore it up for decades.
Yes.
And I think it's something that we need to do. We should do. And I've never met anyone who's opposed to that.
Yes.
When you think about, would I pay another 1 or 2% in tax in order to have a pension that I can't outlive? Yes, I would.
Yeah.
Because I couldn't achieve the same thing by saving that 1 or 2%.
Exactly.
So, you know, we are where we are. I just think the sooner we do it, the less it's going to cost. The longer we wait, the more expensive it'll get.
Right, right. So, and a couple of other tweaks, you know, pushing out the retirement age as they did in the
80s. That's correct.
You know, people are living longer today. And Nancy Hecht reminded me a couple weeks ago, is that 8% automatic increase
yes.
that you get from if you defer from your retirement age to age 70, and that's a big deal.
That's a huge deal,
and that's expensive. You know, but the interesting thing is most people don't use that.
Most people do not use it. They're of the mindset a bird in the hand is better
right.
than two in the bush, and sometimes it's hard to think long term. And then there's also the set, Joe, that's fearful that Social Security is going to go bankrupt, and
right.
so I just want to get what I can get while it's still there.
Right,
so,
exactly.
You know, I think you got to put your faith in something sooner or later,
yeah.
and I think Social Security is a social contract that will.
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt that those people that are in Social Security or near Social Security will lose their benefits.
Yes.
It's the younger generation that probably have to wait longer, maybe pay a little bit more, but Social Security will be there.
I believe it will. And, you know, when Social Security was originally passed, I think life expectancy was 62 or
yes,
63.
Yes, yes.
And so the retirement age was 65.
Right.
So, you know, now
it's a good deal.
Yeah, it was a very good deal. So if we did something comparable now,
mm-hmm.
raised it beyond life expectancy, that would be like 85 or
yes,
something.
Right.
You know, so I don't see that happening. But I do think over time that age may trickle
mm-hmm.
up. And, right. and the combination of those things would make a big difference.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what it would take, and it wouldn't take much to do it, but politicians don't want to focus on that. And, you know, that's the problem of not having term limits.
Yeah.
They're afraid to make the tough decisions because,
yes.
the you know, from the minute they get elected, from day one or day two, it's how do I get reelected?
Yeah.
And you don't want to make the tough decisions, and you spend the money because it gets you more votes.
Yeah.
It's a bad system.
Well, that's a good point, Joe. It really is. And so I think that hopefully, you know, it doesn't have to become a crisis. I mean, we keep kicking the can down the road,
yep.
and sooner or later we're going to have to deal with it. And so, you know, maybe all of our listeners, if they would write Senator Rubio and reach out and try to, you know, shake the bushes a little bit, we can get something going. But, you know, of course, right now in the middle of a crisis, those things don't get looked
exactly.
at.
Yeah, so. Exactly, 100%.
So
we're dealing with China now. That's a whole other issue.
That's a whole other
yeah,
issue. So I was surprised that the markets held up as well as they did yesterday in light of Trump's comments about China.
Yeah. So. Well, they were expecting to talk about the tariffs and the trade deal blowing
yes.
up.
Yes.
And as long as that doesn't blow up, I think that things will continue to hopefully grow, at least modestly.
Mm-hmm.
So I see we got another couple calls there, Kyle.
We're ready for you guys. Let's go to Jack in Orlando. Jack, you're on with the Certified Financial Group.
Morning, Jack. What's up?
Hey, how you doing?
Good. What's up?
How are you?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good.
So, you know, I was asking about this plan. It's called a UIL Life with Living Benefits and Cash Back.
Right.
And I was trying to figure if you guys are familiar with that kind of plan.
We are, and you probably heard it. Somebody's selling it on the radio, Bank on Yourself, or, you know, It's the best thing going. Don't have to worry about the stock market going down. When the market goes up, you get the benefit. When the market goes down, you don't have to worry about it. You can get cash, tax-free income from it. It has all the wonderful things. It'll even wash your clothes if you buy the right policy. It is not a retirement plan.
I'm a little leery about it, so this is why I'm calling.
It's not a retirement plan. Unfortunately,
you know, as someone who invests and trying to diversify some funds, or as you get older, I'm just trying to figure out whether that makes sense or not.
We're of the school, you don't want to mix investing and life insurance in the same program because generally you get the worst of both worlds.
Yeah, that's exactly right, Jack. Unfortunately, when you start mixing investments in life insurance, it's not like mixing chocolate and peanut butter. It doesn't turn out so well. And so, you know, the indexed life insurance that you're talking about is a very inefficient way to save. And you said you're nearing retirement. I don't know what your age is or your health status, but it, like Joe says, you're how old?
58.
58, I got you. Okay. Are you pretty healthy?
Yeah, I'm fairly healthy, you know, in good health, you know, still working.
Okay. Do you even need life insurance? Do you even need life insurance?
Well, I have annuities, you know, I have those, you know, I have that. Plus, this is a supplement to it. I'm thinking it's a supplement to it.
Uh-huh. Well, but do you need life insurance, Jack?
For living. Huh?
Do you need life insurance? Are there others who would be dependent on you if something were to happen to you?
Well, yes, I have a spouse.
Okay. How about a retirement plan? Do you have IRAs, 401ks, Jack?
Yes, I do have a 401k and IRAs. You know, I put a lot of money into that every year.
Okay. At your particular age, you could put 26, 25 grand into a 401k.
Yeah. What are you looking to accomplish, Jack? I think.
Pardon me?
Well, I mean, I'm looking at just if in case, let's just say, you know, if I get injured, something happens to me, then I have a plan.
Well, injured and dying are two different things.
Well, I understand. I think this plan, if I read it correctly, and correct me if I'm wrong, you know, I mean, it covers life, illness, disability, or sickness, injury, disability, and temporary disability. You know, of course, you know, it has fluctuation in the market. If something happens in the market, that definitely makes sense. So,
hey, Jack, let me ask you something.
Yes.
Did you go looking for this, or did it find you?
Well, you know, my insurance guy, the person that we have that handles our stuff, called us about it and offered it as an additional plan. And I'm a little leery about that because I'm a little cautious about some of these things half the time, you know. So I was trying to get more in-depth information. And I'm like, you know, I listen to you guys all the time, and you guys make sense about a lot of things that you say. And I'm like, well, let me just give them a call and see if they know about this plan and what their thoughts are, you know, because you can get two sides of the coin half the time.
Sure.
Yes. Well, I think you're wise for seeking outside counsel, Jack. I will tell you, Joe nor I can make a specific recommendation for you on the air without knowing more about your situation. But I would start with, do I need life insurance? And if so, how much? And what is the best way to buy that? Secondly, I would ask myself, what am I really trying to accomplish here? Because as Joe already stated, it's our belief that when you start mixing insurance and investments, it's very inefficient. It's expensive, and you, generally speaking, come out on the short end of the stick. And so, you know, I think I would take a step back and look at that. Finally, I would just say that I have yet to see one of these plans really pan out in the way that they're projected to pan out. I don't have any clients who are borrowing or banking on themselves, and I have some that have done very well, and ironically enough, the ones that do well tend to not be so enticed by these types of offers. You know, again, there's lots of different perspectives out there, but that's mine. Joe, you got anything to add?
No, I agree 100%. You never want to mix life insurance and investing in the same program because, as I said, you get the worst of both worlds, and I like the mixing peanut butter and chocolate in the same thing. It's not the same thing. Yeah. So,
because, you know,
so Jack,
I do have a life insurance policy. That, you know, I have a million. My wife has that as well to cover each other
good.
In case of, you know, good. Death and so forth.
Good.
We already have that. We're covered on good. That end. You know, this is just a supplementary thing. I don't know whether or not it made sense to even get involved in it.
Well, if you're not putting at least $25,000 a year into your 401k, Jack, that's what I would do. And if your wife has an option to do that as well, she ought to do that. If not, perhaps an IRA would be in your best interest because you get a tax deduction now and the money grows without being taxed, and it'll grow a heck of a lot faster generally than putting it in an insurance policy. Well, we appreciate the call, Jack. Thank you very much.
Yes, Jack.
Let us know if we can help you more, Jack.
Absolutely. Jack, thanks so much for the phone call. If you want Jack's line, it's 844-220-0965. We got Rick and Doug on the line. Rick and Doug, hang on the line. We've got to get you when we come back from the break and get the three big things we need to know.
This is News 96.5 WDBO.
Welcome Welcome back. This is On the Money with a Certified Financial Group right here on News 96.5 WDBO as the Oracle of Orlando, Joe Burt and Chris Toadvine, Certified Financial Planner Professionals at the Certified Financial Group, are over in their office at 1111 Douglas Avenue as I am back here in our WDBO studios as we continue to practice our social distancing. But that doesn't mean we don't have the ability to take your phone calls today at 844-220-0965. And since we're 2.5 minutes away from the latest news, weather, and traffic, let's get right back to it. Talk to Rick in Orlando. Rick, you're on with the Certified Financial Group.
Hey, Rick.
Morning, Rick.
Hi, good morning.
What's up?
Given the pandemic and given the situation with China, which I don't see going backwards, and you know, China has issues all over the world, India, Australia, several other situations, is now the time for me to invest in gold, silver, platinum, or any other precious metals?
The reason being?
Well, because I fear that the market's going to become very volatile, especially given the situation with China. I just don't see the way the government's actions and rhetoric is right now. I see this getting a little worse. You know, I don't see it getting better as far as our relations with China. So,
sure.
I didn't know if now is the time. I mean, do I invest in precious metals for the short term now, say over the next couple years or so?
Well, Rick, I will just chime in that I think whenever you make an investment, it should be an investment that you're willing to hold on to for an extended period of time. We don't believe in timing the market. And so I get a little skittish when I hear you say, should I do this now for a short period of time? Year to date, gold has certainly outperformed the S&P 500. So on the whole, gold has done better than stocks have, the stock market. But when we zoom out to, say, a 10-year time frame, the market has outperformed gold by about 100%. So, you know, I think when you make an investment, you want to have a long-term perspective. And I think that there can be a place in a portfolio for precious metals, but I think it needs to be the kind of thing that you commit to doing and holding for a long period of time. And if you decide to do that, it needs to be a reasonable percentage of your overall.
Yep.
What do you think, Joe?
Yeah, there's a difference between investing and speculating. What you're talking about, Rick, is speculation. It's not something we do as certified financial planners. Our objective is to get you to and through retirement, and there's really not much place for speculation. So that's a whole different ballgame. And if you want to invest in that, I wouldn't put more than 5% of your net worth in precious metals. Just as a reminder, Rodney Owenby is here in the office. And if you want to reach him, because the show is wrapping up, at 407-869-9800 or 1-800-EXECUTORS if you're executing a legal document. And check our website, financialgroup.com, for the upcoming, everything you need to know about Medicare and Medicaid coming up next Saturday. Go to our website, financialgroup.com, and click on events. That's going to be a virtual show, folks, so you can sign up and be sure you'll have a seat.
All right, and then more information on that, financialgroup.com, or give us what phone number. It's been the same for 30 years. I don't know why I can't remember it.
407-869-9800 or 1-800-EXECUTE, or better yet, go to our website, financialgroup.com.
We've been planning tomorrow.
Today.
The Certified Financial Group right here on News 96.5 WDBO.